I'm Beth Perrell. Today we're going to learn about an exhibit called Women of the Research Studio, Past and Present, at the Art and History Museums in Maitland. If you have been to the museums, you know that there are five museums there celebrating contemporary art and hands-on history, a long history there of art. And in fact, we have with us today Dr. Rangsook Yoon. She is Art and History's Director of Experiences, and Elizabeth Condon, an artist in residence, part of the Women of the Research Studio exhibit. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Elizabeth, we're going to talk to you in just a moment about your beautiful work. I was able to see some of it online and can't wait to hear about your methods and what you're doing. But I feel I should bring you in first, Dr. Yoon, to talk about what the Art and History Museums are and a little background on this particular exhibit.
Oh, sure. Art and History Museums, as you mentioned, have five different museums. 7 years ago, Maitland Art Center and Maitland History Museum conjoined. And after that, we focus equally on art exhibitions and history exhibitions. And currently, the exhibition called Woman of the Research Studio is taking place in Art Center's gallery. And originally, the Maitland Art Center started as Research Studio, founded by Andre Smith. Andre Smith was trained as an architect and also worked as painter, scenographer, meaning theater designer, as well as printmaker, as well as etcher. He came down from Connecticut in 1937 and found Lake Lily as a good place to found an artist colony. So from then on, he got financial support from Mary Curtis Bock, as in the Curtis Institute. And with her support, founded this colony consisting of studios and his own residence. From 1937, he also brought his friend artists from Connecticut and New York areas and started to continue the tradition of bringing artists who are up and coming, as well as very well established artists like Milton Avery from 1937 to 57 until he got very sick. Then he stopped that. So like we had this long tradition of bringing artists in winter for artist residency. And that program stopped. But in 2013, we reinitiated a similar artist residency program called Artist in Residence. And in that process, we had 2 to 3 artists every year. And every year, somehow, women's artists applications were very strong. So even in the past several years, we have this very strong presence of and contribution of this female artist to artist residence program. And it's really good time for us to really rethink about the contributions of a woman artist, even in Maitland, because in right now, nationwide, there is this upsurging interest in women artists whose legacies have been forgotten for a long time. And we are following the trend to revisit what women artists have done during our residency in the research studio. So we have this exhibition in which we focus on the female artist presence and their artistic achievements. And by combining the past Bock Fellows, meaning artists who came during Smith's lifetime between 37 and 57, and the recent artist in residency since 2013.
So there were women artists even in the 30s coming down.
Yes.
And when we talk about artists, we're talking about all types of media?
Oh, actually, great question. Actually, mostly visual artists who worked in paintings, drawings, and printmaking.
And that brings us to Elizabeth.
Yes.
And what's interesting, I got to ask you a couple of questions based on that idea of being an artist in residence, but also being a woman. So why don't we take the first, that idea of being here for, you're here for three weeks, and you actually live there?
Yes, I'm living on the grounds, and in fact, at night, I have the grounds all to myself. So I can be both Mrs. Bock and J. Andre Smith as I parade the grounds by myself.
Now, are people going, who is that lady?
It's really beautiful because there's such a degree of silence. It's right by the lake in this beautiful location, and there's a daylily pond, and then around the property there are these concrete carvings, bas-relief carvings by J. Andre Smith that festoon the outside of the buildings because he built it in a Mayan architectural revival style. And those really inspire me because they're a hybrid of Mayan and Chinese and I don't know what, many different sources of imagery. So there's these natural beautiful things like the lily pond and then these concrete bas-relief images that to look at. And so there's this beautiful hybrid of nature and synthetic art, you know, that is right there on the grounds.
And seeing it at different times of day, I imagine, has a unique impact on you.
Yes, that's how I love to get to know a place is by the way the light tracks through it. Whether I move into a new apartment or I go to a residency, I spend at least 2 days in stillness just getting a handle on the light, just to ascertain what it does, its nature, the way that the space changes under it. And at night, the place is lit really well. So these masks come into being. The daylily pond is illuminated by the moon. And the Bach studio where I'm working, which was built for Mrs. Bach, actually presides over the daylily pond in most of the property. So I get a beautiful sweeping view of this whole compound.
I hear you and have visited at least in the daytime and seen it in that light, and it's amazing. But I wonder, when you are an artist in residence and you're drawing that inspiration, doesn't it beg the question, anywhere you are, you can draw inspiration. So what is it that makes it special to go to a location and be that artist who's there?
Well, in this case, there's many veins. And I would say the largest one is J. Andre Smith himself, because he lived and worked at this space. And so it's this kind of creation of an artist architect in and of itself. So it's somebody else's vision and I'm inside of it. So there's the excitement of his aesthetics. And then there's the excitement of his history, which, I mean, he lived in Hong Kong and lived and worked in lived in Connecticut and New York, and then he moved to Florida. So there's this idea of a vision of somebody who's coming to Florida from all across the world. I think he also lived in Germany. And so when I'm there, that it's walking into this, it's walking into a landscape that's been tamed and shaped by this particular vision, and then all of the things that have happened to the property since 1959 when he died. So there's a kind of history and culture that's been assigned to the landscape on top of its natural characteristics. That is really, and that's kind of what you go to residencies because they are shaped. They're landscapes that have particular histories that are, I suppose, documented in a different way than, I mean, all landscape is documented, but they're really cared for and documented in a specific way.
The idea of being a woman, and again, the exhibit is called Women of the Research Studio, Past and Present. What does the perspective of being a woman bring to your art?
Oh, gosh. I suppose that's actually, I was not prepared for that question. I would say right now, at this moment, coming back for a minute, I'm going to circle around, but I'm coming right back to Smith's bas-relief sculptures of the Mayan imagery, of these fierce gods and goddesses with no holds barred, you know, flowers blooming out of the body, you know, fertility goddesses, really violent and sexual imagery that is being presented in this space on the outside of the buildings. So, and in this time of Me Too and Oprah Winfrey's speech the other day and all that's going on with men and women right now, it's a very great time to be working. I'm working from some of the images. So it's just a ferocious time to be there and to have access to these images, which I don't ordinarily work with. So it's kind of like this, the residency is a permission, if you will, although I don't like to talk about permission in terms of being a woman, but the residency is permissive in terms of its outrageous imagery and how I can just plunder it, really. And then in general, I guess I'm going to leave the answer there, because in general, I think, well, let me say that with Helen Frankenthaler and a focus on other painters who have contributed so much to 21st century and 20th century art, with that kind of focus, I feel very excited about being a woman, because I've been, of course, following these developments for years and am really grateful and pleased to have them acknowledged by the culture.
What do you think Andrea Smith would think about it?
So one of the fascinating things about Andrea Smith's research studio and Buck Fellows, as well as the exhibitions he created while he was in Maitland during winter, is that he invited a number of women artists. And in his exhibitions, he created a number of women artists' works as well. But this is the time period when women were not given equal opportunities to show their works in museums as well as in galleries. But ahead of his time, he gave opportunities for female artists to have opportunities to just focus fully on their creative works and give opportunities to showcase their talents in exhibitions. It's really remarkable. I had the opportunity to look into his one of the clip books dated to 1954, showing all these exhibitions he planned out for that year. And then I started to count the number and the names of artists. In actuality, the majority of the artists whose works were shown that year were women. And if I also check and look at the Buck Fellows names each year between 1938 and 57, by the time we pass the 1940s, women are as equally presented as male artists. Having said that, it's also true that many of these artists who came when there were more than four or five artists were actually couples. So Milton Avery and Sally Avery came together. Doris Lee, whose works is shown in our collection, came with her husband, Blanche. And also Jan Gelb, who came to the research studio in 1947 and 49, also came with her artist husband, Boris Margot. Jan Gelb and Boris Margot were both very well-known artists, and they were also very experimental printmakers. So we also are showing currently one of the very experimental print made by Jan Gelb. But what we see here is that, what I also mention here is that women artists did not have opportunity to show their works in galleries, relatively speaking, in comparison with male artists. So what they often chose was printmaking. And some of these artists, like Jan Gelb, Jan Gelb and Mina Citron created a printing group called the 14 Printers and Painters to create prints to be able to sell and distribute more widely.
So when you say print, they would create a painting but make it such that it could be printed and sold as copies?
Yeah. So these printers were, printmakers were also painters, but they would use medium that allows them to make multiples so that they can actually distribute and sell them in art markets, for instance. So their prints, whether it's etching or woodcut or lithograph, would have certain similarities to their paintings, but they would be experimenting with these multiples. They could distribute this, they could be distributed and known to a wider audience, by bypassing the gallery systems in the museums.
So the galleries were so specific to the one artist, the one time. The galleries were afraid to take a risk, perhaps, on an art. Okay.
Right.
But with the printing, you can put it out there. And
yes, yes. And some of these artists were also very avant-garde. So they would be also experimenting with the printing techniques. So when you come to the exhibition, you will see more traditional printing making techniques such as lithograph and etching, but sometimes the mixing different techniques as well.
And it sounds like, Elizabeth, you're getting caught up in that. Let's go for it.
I actually will be doing some printmaking soon, and it sounds really exciting. But I'm really excited by the improvisational nature of the residency itself, and how one thing that's really – residencies have many different structures, but in this case, this residency really leaves you alone to work. So So I have complete carte blanche and in the spirit of experimentation that has gone before. But there is not a print press there that I know of.
But you're still, like I said, going for it. So
yeah.
Is this something that people can watch you work?
I suppose that could be arranged. I mean, it's really private time. And then there are public events, like the exhibition opening a couple nights ago. And then there'll be on the 17th of January, there'll be a walk through where I'll talk about my process and summarize to that point. But I don't know of any. I mean, I'm on the campus, and I suppose people could knock on the door. I could leave the door open.
Well, that's what I was wondering how it works with you being there. But it's what you produce will be on exhibit. People will be able to go through and see it.
Yes, it already is. But I'm changing the exhibition. So actually, I'll be in the gallery a fair amount revising what I've already put in there.
Let's go ahead and talk about your process. But I know that, Dr. Yoon, you want to add something?
So Elizabeth is a very well-established artist. She could have gone with pre-existing paintings, drawings on different types of paper. But she wanted to have an opportunity to experiment with installation too. So instead of just settling in what she's already comfortable with, she wanted to do a little more, something different. So I gave her these two small gallery spaces to experiment with the installation, meaning that she's going to add new bodies of works she create while she's here. So instead of just using her papers or canvases as her carte blanche, she's using the whole gallery spaces as her canvas as well to think in almost three-dimensional space. So I did not add any label text in the space so that it's like her own space. So by 17th, when she gives an artist tour in our galleries, she will be able to add more into it. That's what she means by changing the galleries. Because it's a constantly changing and transforming canvas, meaning that the whole galleries themselves will be her own space and body of work.
I am so intimidated.
Why?
The thought of walking in there and just trying to make it happen in that whole space.
Oh, it's really, well, right now it's really legible as a works on paper exhibition. Mm-hmm. And what's really special about those two galleries is that they overlook, they overlook Studio 5. And Studio, as you likely know, the residence has, or the compound has, different studios where people go take classes. And Studio 5 has the goddess, I think it's the goddess Ishel, the goddess of fertility, but also of agriculture. And there's one other element, I can't remember, earth maybe? Midwifery, that's right. And so this is a pretty shocking and ferocious image, and it really got me going. And so all the works on paper that are in the gallery refer to that image. So people can just see the image beyond the gallery window as part of the show. But the show is pretty expected, you know, the works on paper on a wall. But now I'm starting to make drawings on parchment of really kind of 70s wallpaper patterns that'll start lining the walls. And then I'm going to make more large, I have two large drawings in there now, and I'm going to make more of those as the time on the residency goes on and I sink deeper under its spell.
What kind of drawings do you do?
I brought down. I mean, the thing about residencies is also interesting. You have to decide what are you going to bring, and you know you don't have everything in your studio there with you. So I brought this paper that a friend bought from me from Mexico that is like a parchment that's been glued on one side. And I never knew how to work with it, and it would always curl up and become impossible. Anyway, I brought that, and I have figured it out. So I'm tracing these patterns onto that parchment, and then I'm adding in images from J. Andre Smith and just the mask-like images so that those are really – so the glue parchment is very resistant to the material. So it's just kind of laborious to put the material on to make the image, and that's really pleasurable. It's like a meditation or something. And then I'm working on these big sheets of watercolor paper that's a cold press, which has an indented surface that accepts the color very nicely. And I have jars and jars or small bottles of ink and watercolor that my husband makes that are really pure, powerful pigment. So they're very strong color, both fluorescent and regular colors. And then I also have Japanese ink that, and so I mix those together because the ink has a resin in it and it repels the watercolor and regular ink so that there's all sorts of blooms and strange phenomena appear into the surface, and then into that I sort of quote unquote carve. I paint, but it feels like carving to me. Imagery from, imagery that comes to me. So it's very stream of consciousness and improvisational, kind of abstract expressionist style, but the adding imagery inserts a kind of resolution to it that the abstract expressionist would have perhaps eschewed, but in this time of multiple realities and perspectives, it just makes sense.
Well, it sounds awesome, although it sounded like chemistry, too, with the mixing of the paint and the ink and everything. So I guess what we should do, because I know everybody's going, wow, this sounds really cool, I want to see. Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Yoon, you want to tell us about how people can visit the museum and see the work?
Maitland Artist Center is opened from Thursday to Sunday, 11 to 4 o'clock. And our address is 231 West Packwood Avenue in Maitland, just off Maitland Avenue, and then you're going to turn to Packwood Avenue. And the exhibition, and as Elizabeth mentioned earlier, on 17th, between 12 and 1, she's going to give a special tour guiding through the galleries and talking about the process, the installation part, from conceptualization to the very progress she's in by the 17th. But of course, the installation will be completed until she leaves. So it's constant metamorphosis of her works as well as the gallery spaces inspired by the very the goddess image decorating the top portion of Studio 5.
And so it sounds like people should visit more than once, really, to see the progress.
And in addition to Elizabeth's works and Buck Fellow's works from the 40s to 60s, you can also see this beautiful, meticulously drawn mixed media works by Nikki Painter. Nikki Painter was another artist in residence from earlier part of 2017, and her works also makes a great juxtaposition to Elizabeth's works because accidentally their works both have this very vibrant fluorescent colors like pink, and then there is this contrast in the way they approach their almost meditative concentration into their work. Elizabeth's work is more fluid and organic. On the other hand, Nick's works is very geometric and controlled and labor intensive with thousands of little marks she needed to create her artworks. So it creates really great range of different woman artists, creative works happening in contemporary art scene. So it's really worthwhile for them to come and see what woman artists did in the 30s and the 40s, and now what they do in this very contested time.
Elizabeth?
I can't say enough what a treasure that Art and History Museum's Maitland is. It's like a little oasis in a piece of past time that somehow exists now in perfect tandem with what's happening with the issues of our day. And I guess the galleries themselves are really beautiful. The exhibition of the Bach Fellows, Nikki Painter and myself, are all works on paper, so that's really interesting. And the grounds are just beautiful and sumptuous, and to see how an artist envisioned a colony is really magical. It's just a magical landscape. So I would like to thank Art and History Museums and Rengsuk very much for having me.
Thank you again for coming and joining us. And we've been talking about the exhibit Women of the Research Studio, Past and Present. I want to let people know that they can look online at artandhistory.org to get information about this particular exhibit and to learn more about the Art and History Museums of Maitland. My guests today have been artist Elizabeth Condon and Dr. Rengsuk Yoon, who's Art and History's Director of Experiences. I'm Beth Perrell.